Is your inventory control out of control? Look no further than the Atlantic Advantage system, the lean way to manage inventory and reduce costs. Atlantic Advantage offers automatic replenishment, automatic delivery, and automatic price reductions if market prices drop on your shipping, janitorial, and safety products.
Call me, David Spencer, owner of Atlantic Paper and Twine, at 1-800-613-0950 to get the Atlantic Advantage system working for you, or check us out at atlanticpaper.com.
Call 1-800-613-0950.
This is the Lean Nation with Carl Wardenstein on AM 790.
The Lean Nation is a systematic approach to identifying and eliminating waste. We'll show you how to do more with less and how to weather any economic storm.
Open your mind because it's time to get lean with Captain Carl.
The Lean Nation on your station for talk and business, AM 790.
Hey, and welcome to Lean Nation on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And what a gorgeous day it is out there today. It's overcast again. This is springtime. We're supposed to hear birds chirping. We're supposed to see sun shining. I don't know what's wrong with it. And what about all those tornadoes across the country? Oh, my God. It's just unbelievable. You know, our thoughts, our prayers go out to all those people out there. Natural disaster is probably one of the hardest things to recover from. And think about this, the economic tsunami that we have going on in our country today, in every community, every state across the Lean Nation, everybody that's listening, those are things that can be averted. And they can be averted so quickly, unlike natural disasters that we don't know when they're coming, we don't know when they're going to strike, and they do terrible devastation. These are things through leadership, through people, you know, looking at these problems that we have and boiling them down to root cause and coming up with some strategic plans and aligning people around a goal, a mission, a pathway to change, you know, the economic tide in our respective states, our towns, our communities. Last week, we were fortunate enough here at the Vibration Nation, my company, to go meet with our governor for the state of Rhode Island. He had had a budget in proposal where we're going to reduce our tax from 7% to 6%, the state tax. But then we're going to tax a whole bunch of services and different things throughout the state that had never had a tax on them previously. And then there was going to be another 1% incremental change in tax. And you know what? What a firestorm that started in our state. Oh, my gosh. It was just crazy because, you know, now we're asking people in certain service sectors to start accounting for and paying taxes monthly to state revenue and yada, yada, and et cetera, et cetera. Plus, you're all going to take a business community that's having such a tough time where leadership is critical and paramount for companies, domestic companies in the U.S., to lead us through this and navigate those roads so we can stay viable, we can stay competitive, we can do more things for our customers, and with the expectation that we're going to have price stability. And it was voted down. General Assembly voted it down. We met with them after that and kind of laid out the framework for some of the lean methodologies and lean methodologies in operational excellence. That's what we're talking about. Lean, there's this big misconception that lean is a lot of other things. It was a name coined by Jim Womack and the LEI group up in Cambridge. And probably in retrospect, it was probably not a good word because people think of cutting, slashing, burning, getting rid of people and just imploding, you know, on a structure and a system that we have, but it isn't. It's actually looking at that structure and system to make it operationally excellent. And you need a strong leader. And I'm so glad today we have a guest on today with us. It's Pam Fox Rowland, and she's with a group called Idea Shape. And she is the principal executive coach. Pam has earned an MBA from Stanford University, Graduate School of Business, where she later consulted for 8 years as a guest fellow and master coach. She has been senior facilitator for several courses, including the class Alumni Rate Most Valuable. You know, this is important stuff. And the most valuable course was Interpersonal Dynamics. And think about this, public-private sector, interpersonal dynamics are the most critical. She has also served as a featured lecturer and facilitator for executive education. Pam holds a bachelor's with highest honors in organizational studies from the University of California, and she's got a brand new book coming out, 42 Rules for Your New Leadership Role. Jesus. Sorry, Pam. Role. The manual they didn't hand you when you made VP, director, or manager, and it's going to be available in May 2011. Pam, welcome to the Lean Nation.
Thanks, Carl. I'm really glad to be on with you.
I'm glad to have you, a fellow and voted most liked course, I mean, by the alumni. It's good stuff, but you think about what they're voting about. And I'm sure it's no surprise to you, interpersonal dynamics. That's the DNA of what the heck we're trying to do every day.
It absolutely is. People go get MBAs thinking that they're going to learn about finance and operations and accounting, and all that stuff is important. But to some extent, you can get it from the book. Just like people don't buy, you were talking about on your show a couple weeks ago, people don't buy just because it's a product, because there's a lot of folks that have products, right? They buy because they use it. They buy because they like the conversation that they have with your company as they buy the product and use the product.
It's so critical. And, you know, one of the points that we had some background information from Pam here, and as many people confound leadership with having the answers and making decisions. So new hires who know the least about the organization assume leadership roles and make decisions, often lousy ones. How can a new hire be a learner? I mean, that's what we're all trying to do, be a learner. So how can that happen?
Absolutely. Let me just paint a little picture for your listeners.
Please.
Because one of the exercises that we do in the leadership program at Stanford, brought to us by Professor Deb Grunfeld, who's written some terrific stuff on power and how it messes with our minds, is we have the MBA students take different roles. So they just get a piece of paper. Are they a manager? Are they, you know, a team member? And then there's some activities that happen. And what they see for themselves through the course of this facilitated program is that when they have the piece of paper that says manager, they do a bunch of really strange communication stuff. So they stop asking questions. They start hoarding information. They start making pronouncements instead of getting people involved to try to solve the problem. And that's the exact opposite of what we want leaders to do.
Leaders should be asking a lot of questions.
And
absolutely.
It is hard sometimes for leaders to go up against that kind of odd cultural myth that we have that says the leader is the person out in front with the answers saying, you know, follow me here and do it exactly this way. And that seldom works, but it sure as heck doesn't work for somebody who's new to the organization. So people usually need to check that with themselves. Often they think that the people on their team will expect them to come in with all the answers, when really the person who's holding that myth is themselves. So, you know, I advise people to start with yourself. What are your expectations of you as a leader? And what is the output that you're aiming for? You're really aiming for your team to be tremendously successful and to do it in a way that is scalable, repeatable, growable, flexible. And so it's not about you having the answers. It's about your team being successful. And if you can make that mindset change, then you quickly realize that the people who are most likely to help create that success are the people who are on your team. So then that just shifts your perspective to, okay, what do we need to know together as a group? And if you can get the leader, and I'm sure you've seen this in your organization, Carl, if you can get the leader of the team to role model curiosity and being a learner themselves, then it makes it safe for everybody else on the team to get curious and to see how they can improve the organization.
Well, you know, this goes back to it, and the more I learn about Lean, the more people that we have on the show, and the more I do the Gemba going out to see people, is that we set ourselves up in school and you've been in academia, is that the professor, the leader of the class, has all the answers, and you're regurgitating the kind of things that they want to hear for the correct answer. Instead of this discovery, instead of this curiosity, that where does this lead us? And, you know, we have some methodology to do that. And I don't know of very few schools across the country that are teaching this kind of open format to, we don't know the answers, but we have a big, vague problem, and how do we get to root cause, and what are we going to do along this journey?
I'll give some credit to Stanford Business School, because about 6-7 years ago, the leadership program that got rippled through the school and grew, so it's now everybody in getting a Stanford MBA is part of this leadership program, really starts from that place of curiosity of how do we get a bunch of us asking the right questions instead of walking in the room pretending to have all the answers.
Mm. Important, especially with the paradigm shift in there. Are no black and white answers in the business world today, in the public world today. There's a lot of gray. There's a lot of input required from a lot of people. And, you know, you really better tighten up your PDCA cycle as you do make statements that this is what we're going to do. And you might have to articulate and change those directions just slightly, not dramatically. You have a good course, but there are small little articulations you need to do in the pursuit of excellence.
Absolutely. And so, I've encouraged people for years to look at a model called discovery-driven planning from Rita McGrath out at Harvard. And what it basically says is, you know, we know what we can know now. So let's make plans based on that, and then let's flag our assumptions so that if we're assuming that the supplier market is stable or that there's not a new kind of, you know, whatever, let's flag that so that we test it in the relevant time frame so that 3 months from now somebody remembers to go look and say, wait a second, there are new suppliers who are coming in at different price points. Do we need to adjust our plan? Otherwise, you wind up with a grand pronouncement strategic plan that is just, you know, it might have made sense in September, but it may not make sense in January by the time people are implementing it.
Oh, yeah. This is for sure. So, you know, I opened with that statement about, you know, confound leadership with having the answers, and we got some feedback on that. But it's not just for the new people assuming leadership roles, Pam, as well. This is for existing leaders that you really have to have some self-reflection also, because they need to change a little bit.
Absolutely.
So now let me hold that thought there. When I come back, I'm going to ask you some more of the things about, you know, leaders and getting people up to speed and doing some things like that. But you're listening to Lean Nation on AM 790, and we'll be right back after this message. We have Pam Fox Rollin with us from Idea Shape, and we'll be back after this message.
The Yankees and Jays at Sky Dome tonight at 6:30 on AM 790.
Hey, it's K-Dub here from the Lean Nation. You know, the number one question I get from listeners is, where do I go for help? I always say start with your local manufacturing extension partnership. Each state has one. And if you're in Connecticut, then you're really in luck because you have ConStep. You might remember that we broadcast from the ConStep conference last fall, and I was so impressed with this organization. In the last 5 years, they've provided on-site consulting and critical help to more than 1,600 Connecticut companies. And those companies made some huge gains. $845 million in top-line growth, $41 million in reduced production costs, and they added or retained more than 4,000 jobs. Think about that in this economy. ConStep has some great workshops. You can check it out at ConStep.org, and they have free lunch hour webinars on Wednesdays. Get complete program descriptions and find out about their services and see their event schedule at ConStep.org, and that's ConStep.org, or call them at 800-266-6672 today. Hey, and welcome back to the Lean Nation on AM 790. If you're just tuning in, we have Pam Fox Rowland with us from Idea Shape, and she has a new book coming out here in May 2011, coming right on our doorstep here, 42 Rules for New Leadership Role, the manual they didn't hand you when you made VP, director, or manager. So think about that. But, you know, this book, Pam, and I keep reading some of the stuff you and Linda went back and forth, is not just for new, it's for existing people, too, I think.
That's what that's what I'm hearing, too, except for maybe the first few chapters. But really, in this age, we're all refreshing our role, whether or not we get a new title, because things evolve, things change. So my hope is that, yes, this will be useful to people as they move up through their careers.
You know, and the whole thing about, you know, just the interpersonal dynamics, you put a lot of emphasis on this. And one of the things that new leaders or existing leaders, you know, may often stumble on is getting up to speed in an organization, whether you're manufacturing, whether you're service, whatever it is that they think they can get a lot of the information that they need sitting in their offices, going over data, doing, you know, all this profound, you know, number crunching or strategic analysis. Yeah. Where the hell does that get you?
I don't know, Carl, where have you seen that gets people?
It doesn't get you too far in my book.
No, it really doesn't. And you know, the fact is you got to read a certain number of the reports, right? It's handy for you to know your budget. It's handy for you to know the strategic plan of the company. If you can get one document, try to get an org chart with people's names, because the point is you want to go talk to them. And
yes.
People will make time, especially when you're new or there's been a big change, whether you come in from the inside or the outside, people will make time for you usually. And you want to use that time really well. So start before you hit the organization day one. And one of the things I say is that if your plan is to show up on your first day and do your best, you're still thinking like an individual contributor. If you want to think like a leader, you got to do a little bit of that reading and mindset change beforehand so that you come with good questions. Because what you want to spend your first couple weeks doing in large part is talking to people and especially listening. So you want to say, you know, I'm curious, how is X affecting Y? How is our change in the customer base affecting what we're doing here in production? How is this new initiative affecting what it is that you're doing with your people? So you want to come with those sort of questions, and that really how people will get to know you, and you'll be modeling that curiosity that you want in your organization.
Yeah, and there's a great book about asking questions, and I was looking for it during the break. But it's not just asking, it's observing too, I think, Pam, correct?
Absolutely.
Just,
you talk about Zemba, and that's so important. I really encourage people to get out to the field as soon as possible, wherever the field is, and sometimes that's as simple as opening your door.
Exactly.
And seeing what's happening with the people in your department, and sometimes it's going out to the customer, ride along, seeing other parts of the organization. And on one hand, it seems like the first few months is a crazy time to do that because people are approaching you with all sorts of these decisions that they've been waiting for you to be hired so that you can make these decisions. But if you don't go do that, you don't really have a basis for making those decisions. Things look very different in the real world than they do on paper. And I just see again and again with the leaders that I work with that if they've spent time in the field with customers, with service reps, whatever the front lines is of your organization, they really can make much better decisions.
And I think that's where your role at Idea Shape and doing the things that you do are so critical, because you talked about continuously learning. You talked about evolving, and that, you know, you get stale with this after a while, because that goes into the second phase of this, that people are promoted. The doers get promoted, and they may not have the fundamentals for helping teach and discover with other people, how do we get this into a high-powered organization? I'm the doer. But am I going to be promoted and be the doer in this part of the organization, or am I going to actualize all you guys and gals to help be doers as well?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely, Carl. And people often are promoted because they're the best.
right.
accountant, marketer, computer repair person, goodness knows what. And then they've got this funny manager role, and as a new manager was telling me a couple weeks ago, he said, oh, now I go into the office, and I can't get anything done because there are people lining up outside my office all day. It's like, that's the work that you have now to get done, is to help make those people successful and to develop them and to help them find themselves into the right roles and to make sure that all that work adds up to the results that you want to create for your customers. And it's really, it's a tricky time for our brains, Carl, because we know that, you know, that part of our brain that does this complex analysis, that prefrontal cortex, is a really tiny, tiny space. And it gets very distracted and flustered by change. And so when you're starting a new role, everything is different. The ring of the phone is different. The people you're talking to every day is different. So it's really easy to get distracted. And what we know from lots of research is that when people get distracted, they fall back in what they know. So what does the accounting manager know how to do? Accounting. So
right.
we've got to help people learn how to manage, how to lead. And if, you know, you, a listener, are someone who is looking at being promoted and you're focusing solely on the skills and the jobs, see what you can do to get some training, guidance, experience. Maybe you can lead a task force. See what you can do to get some experience in leading groups of people, because then when you are promoted or hired into another organization at a different level, you'll have some experience in managing and leading, so it won't seem so foreign and you won't fall back on just doing all the work yourself.
Beautiful. I'm going to hold you there, Pam, for a second. We have Pam with us. She is the principal and executive coach at IdeaShape, and we're talking about a new book she has coming out in May, and we'll be right back after this quick message.
You're listening to The Lean Nation with Captain Carl Wattenstein on AM 790. Wednesday at 3, it's The Next Level with Anthony Gemma, featuring Rhode Island's business leaders and the CEOs of America's most prominent companies. Now, more of The Lean Nation with Carl Wattenstein on your station for talk and business, AM 790.
Hey, and welcome back to Lean Nation on AM 790, your station for talk and business. We're having a lively discussion here with Pamela Fox Rollin, and she's got a new book, 42 Rules for the New Leadership Role, your new leadership role. The manual they didn't have when you made VP, director, or manager. You're the leader now. So think about this. The role of the leader is a very high calling. But a high calling I wasn't so sure about. And I'm sure, Pam, a lot of the people you coach probably say, what the heck did I get myself into?
Yeah, it can sound nice on paper.
Yes.
And it sounds like you have all this power until you get into it and discover that those traditional sources of power that you thought might be there, I'll just tell this person to do this, or I'll make a plan and email it to everybody. You know, it doesn't mean much in the real world. I think that's why the alums value the interpersonal dynamics course, because you got to go and have the conversations, and hopefully they're learning conversations, so that everybody in the organization can, you know, can engage in the effort. And otherwise, the leadership job really isn't very fun.
No, not at all. And you were talking about as well, you know, leaders are people that, you know, leading a group of people in a common direction with common purpose. And it can be as simplistic as this, because you were talking about that. And in our company, we do a morning stretch every morning. The whole company, we've been doing it for 8 years. And I said at the very beginning, 8 years ago, to everybody, take a turn inside the circle of stretch, because we do a stand-up meeting while we're stretching and getting healthy and being limber and doing all these things. Take a turn in the middle of the circle and lead the conversation with some of the things that are on for the day, or some constraints or issues or whatever it is. Because eventually, I don't care where you are in the food chain in any organization, you're going to be at a wedding, and either giving your daughter or your son or something, you know, somebody influential in the wedding party where you're going to have to make a speech or address a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're definitely all going to be at a funeral someday. you know, whether it's our own or a loved one. And at that point, people are looking for you to take that leadership role, whether you like it or not, and say something profound about that person there. And you have children and significant others that do great accomplishments, and they're looking for acknowledgement from family members, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, whatever it is. And so if you can be comfortable to get up and stand in front of a group and feel at that moment in time, leadership isn't all the time, but at that moment in time, they're looking for someone to take a leadership role. Or am I way out in left field here? Sometimes they tell me I'm in the weeds.
If you're in the weeds, it's in a beautiful wetland, because I'm right here with you.
Okay.
I talk about seeing leaders everywhere. I think the best leaders see leaders. It's like, you know, what was that show with the, you know, I see ghosts, I see dead people everywhere. You know, leaders see leaders everywhere. And
yeah.
One of the things that's so fun is to come into an organization, and as I'm getting going working with this manager or director, and they say, well, you know, I understand that it would be great to have some of these ideas and programs come from my team or have them work on it, but I really have to do everything because we don't have leaders in our organization. And so I'm like, okay, I'm really interested to meet these non-leaders. So we go and watch for a while and meet the folks, and it turns out it was that person's assumption is about what constitutes a leader. So they might assume that someone without a formal education is not, you know, or postgraduate education in some organizations, is not somebody who would be appropriate for leadership. Or they assume that the quiet, more introverted person wouldn't make a great leader. Or they assume somebody who's got that different background, than they're the engineer who somehow found themselves in marketing. Well, they can't lead a bunch of marketers. And it's really about opening up that perspective of what the role of leadership is, how can we share it, and how can we develop people so that they're ready to take that on?
You know what? It couldn't have been better said, because as you read history about some of these profound people that have made great change in our world, a lot of them have not had these big degrees and titles, and that means nothing, the big degrees and titles. Just like because you're a leader, people are expected to follow you and wait for you to say these profound things. They're going to be corporation, life-changing. It doesn't happen. They're collaborative efforts with people with passion that understand how to listen, understand how to direct, and understand how to get people involved and unlock the doggone genius in everybody that takes part.
Absolutely. You know, and so it's possible that some listeners out there might think that we're on a Pollyanna planet, and we're not. I think you and I are in the real world, and the book is a very practical one and addresses some of the fears that I hear from new leaders about if I develop my people and if I go tout their accomplishments to the rest of the organization, other people in the organization with more power are going to steal my people. And there's some really practical ways to address that. It's a legitimate fear, but wait a minute. If you've developed people, and if you focused on getting better and better at developing people, you'll develop more leaders in your organization. Secondly, those folks who have been poached away are going to remember you as one heck of a person to work with. And so now you have partnerships in other functions in the organization. And then finally, you know, you want to be part of the boat that is winning the race, right? And so if you're going to build just your organization at the expense of your downstream or upstream organization, you know, you're going to soon find yourself with results that don't match what you could achieve if you helped the rest of the organization be successful, too.
Yeah, and this is, Pam, really, really, really hard work. This is like the hardest work. You're resonating with, you're resonating so much with me, but it's really hard work. And as a leader, I have to check in with myself. And I have people that, you know, I hold very high confidence with when they tell me to get a reality check. They're not doing it for the demise of me or to be critical on me. They're doing it because they care about me. And Carl, you got to get a check. you know, and I say, okay, I'm Scandinavian and my head's thick. Tell me what I got to check in because it's not resonating with me. Just hit me in the face with it, please. And, you know, it's really important to have those people as well in a leadership role instead of saying, you know what? It's not, I'm good. What are you talking about? This is good stuff. You know, let's have some dialogue here.
You know who tends to be great for that is the people that you did your first couple jobs with when you were in your early 20s and you were obviously green and all that. And now, you know, 10, 20, 25 or some of us, you know, years later, they're more experienced too, but they remember you when you didn't know how to make a presentation to senior management. They remember you when you had no clue what the basic terms were in your industry. And I find that those are folks who can really tell it to you straight.
And you know who those folks are that are in my choir? It's my mom and my dad.
They've known you a long time.
This is all I've done. The vibrator business. And believe me, they check in on me all the time. And it sometimes is painful, but we're listening to Pam Rollins, Idea Shape. We're talking about her book, 42 Rules for the New Leadership Role. We're going to be right back after this message.
Your station for talk and business.
AM 790.
Hey, it's K-Dub here from the Lean Nation. I read an article in an HR magazine recently. There was this study that showed that companies really want to hire people with lean skills, more than Six Sigma, more than any other process improvement skills. That's because lean is all about learning. It's about building the capabilities of every single person within an organization. So here's the problem. There are a limited number of places where you can really learn lean skills. This show is a great place to start, of course. And if you've been listening but don't have any real training, I have a terrific, perfect place to go. Productivity, Inc. and Fisher College of Business at Ohio State have been certifying lean managers for the last 10 years. These are awesome, intensive training programs so you can learn, demonstrate, and use the skills to build your career. There is a huge need and demand for this training. No doubt, think about this economy. People are looking for these skills. Programs include Lean Manager, TPM certification, Lean Tool Awareness. These are fully accredited programs that will make a huge difference in your life and your career. Go to Productivity Inc. right now. That's productivityinc.com. You can also click on Productivity logo on the Lean Nation page on 790business.com. Check it out today. Hey, and welcome back to the Lean Nation on AM 790. We have Pam Fox Rowland with us, Idea Shape. She is the principal and executive coach there on interpersonal dynamics. She's got a new book coming out in May, 42 Rules for the New Leadership Role, the manual they didn't hand out when you were made, the Big Kahuna. So
I should have called it that.
The big, that's a good word, the Big Kahuna, because
yeah,
everybody's wondering what's the Big Kahuna going to do? But we have a few minutes left here. What was the passion for this? And you have some rules. Do you want to do the rules and decode the DNA of this a little?
Well, thanks. Yeah, there's a ton of rules. There's 42 of them because this is part of a series of very practical business books, the sort of thing that you can read in one airplane flight and then keep by your desk and go, okay, what do I need to do this week? So there's a series of them, and this one, of course, is for new leaders. And it takes you through the first section of rules is about what to do before you start. Yes, you should be doing things before you start to get ready. If it's too late for that, what do you do your first couple weeks? And what do you do after that? And then how do you make this job livable, you know, and livable and doable? So it takes you through that process. You know, there's another book that addresses a similar thing, and I think you're going to have him on this show. It's Kevin Eikenberry's Bud to Boss. And it's funny because we cover some similar ground, but I think we all had a good laugh in reading our books because there's so much to cover in this time period that we focused on some different things. And, you know, what he covers in that book is kind of the social experience of how do you go from being a you know, a member of a group to being the leader of that particular group, and that's a heck of a transition. And then after that, people wind up having the same the sort of experiences I talk about in my book, where you either get hired into a different organization or promoted up into a different group, and you have that different set of challenges. And yeah, one of the mistakes I so often see new leaders make, and I mention it in the book because it's an aspect that I don't think people realize until they experience it, and that is that people assume that the change that they were hired to make, what they were told in the interview, okay, so we really want you to be our accounting manager because you've got this great experience in putting in accounting systems that'll give us the data, and we've decided to tweak our company to be much more data-driven than we've been in the past, and that's why we're hiring you, and we're really excited you're bringing that to the organization. So the new hire tends to assume that that case for change, changing to a more data-driven organization, has already been made, and that people in the organization have agreed to make that change, right?
That's a poor assumption.
It is, because often what that means is, you know, we've been talking about this and talking about this, and no one here is willing to roll that boulder uphill, so we've hired you to see if you can do it.
That would be a better conversation, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah.
And it would kind of say, you know, well, we're all afraid to talk to everybody about this, but it's really a direction we need to go. And you're going to be the facilitator for this. Are you on board? And you're going to look at them and say, what are you, nuts?
You know, it can even work as long as the person gets that really soon and takes on change management as part of their role, because really it's hard to imagine a leadership role these days without change and galvanizing people towards change as part of that role.
You know, there's a great lady, Meryl Runyon. Have you ever read any of her stuff?
Just a little bit, and I caught a speck of her podcast with you, about half of it, and it sounds like you guys had a great time at that conference.
She had a great time, and you know, to lay the foundation work of you giving the tactical, she's giving the conversations. Mean what you say what you mean, and don't be mean about it. Because so many times, we don't even know how to have a simple conversation.
Right.
You're laying out the groundwork for don't blame the last guy, plant the seeds for future wins, make your own matrix, grow more leaders, and a lot of dialogue has to happen to get those things going. You're trying to get the conscious knowing that I'm the change agent. They want to be more data driven, but I'm sure they haven't told everybody in the organization this is going to happen. So it's your role to do that, but you have to have conversations to get that going.
Yeah, leadership is all about a series of conversations, and as you put your finger on, it's about the conversations that people haven't been wanting to have for a long time.
For a long time, because they're messy, they make your stomach hurt, they make you sweaty, and you get anxious. It's hard stuff.
It is. And you know, I know this isn't a health and wellness show, Carl, but, you know, I do encourage people to take some care of themselves, because if you roll right from the exhaustion of your last job into this new job, wow, you know, you're going to be trying to do all this difficult stuff, you know, when you're already exhausted. So if you can take a little time, at least get some sleep, eat well, do the basics in your life. You know, it's not like you're going to be having an, you know, easy time and 40-hour weeks while you're starting a new leadership role. But, you know, at least be aware that the gig is these icky conversations, which actually, you know, as you and I know, can be a heck of a lot of fun, because they create all these breakthroughs and move the organization forward. You know, but at least take care of yourself so that you, as the new leader, can show up calm, with a sense of humor, fully present, and that you don't get ruffled by everybody's reaction. And that's, you know, we know from neuroscience that humans are pretty well wired to pick up on the stress of people around them and mirror that back. And when you're in a leadership role, that kind of has to stop with you. So people are going to be throwing all sorts of stress on you, all sorts of projects that they were waiting for you to arrive, or they're hoping you'll solve because nobody else has, or they involve really lousy conversations that they don't want to have, and they're going to throw all this stuff your way. And if you can kind of be loose in the knees and have had a good night's sleep and had some protein along with your coffee, you know, and just catch that stuff and say, okay, which of these is really priority?
your stability. You're the rock of Gibraltar. Your stability, yeah. And you know, helping to detangle some of this stuff. How do people find you, Pam? Because we're coming up here, and I want people to find your website, find your book. Why don't you let our listeners hear that?
Thank you. Ideashape.com is the best place to go. And if folks are on Twitter, glad to connect there. It's PAMFR for Pam Fox Rowland.
And what we're going to do is we're going to post all this information on Facebook as well, because I think this book, when it gets released in May, is going to be one of those books that you carry as a pocket guide. And every manager and every owner, whoever you are, should have these books that you refer back to, right?
Right.
So
I know there's been books that have done that for me, and so I'm glad to you know, carry this forward for the next group of people who are starting this really tough job.
Beautiful. And if you're ever in New England, we want you to come by the Vibration Nation. We'd love to see you in person, and thanks so much for being on the show.
Bye, Carl.
Bye. And that's it for this hour of the Lean Nation. We're back for hour two after this quick message break from our sponsors.
Station for talk and business.
AM 790.